You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Hi, and welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. We're super excited to talk to you today. I'm here with Mary Clark. I'm Andrew Berkshire. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Mary C. Clark, at Andrew Berkshire, and at Crosscheck NHL. Welcome to the podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, make sure you tell all your friends about it. We're always looking for new listeners, and we're excited to share lots of stuff with you. This is our playoff preview show, but that's not all it is. We also talked to Soroya Tinker of the NWHL, the Dena Lang Award winner for the year, somebody who's shown leadership at the extremely young age of, early 20s, Yale graduate. Our interview with her is fantastic. I can't wait for you to hear it. Mary, how you doing?
I'm good. Like I was saying on our pre-show, I'm a little bit sunburnt today. I spent my day off yesterday just sitting out in the sun, and I forgot to put sunscreen on, so I'm a little bit crispy, but I think it was worth it the next time. Obviously, I will go out and wear sunscreen. My parents reprimanded me. He was like, you know, you could get skin cancer. I'm like, yes, I do. I forgot. It was just so nice outside that I just forgot to do it, but it is nice that spring is basically here and I can, you know, enjoy the nice weather, and hopefully I'm going to go to the beach next week for a day trip with my sister. So it's finally like looking nice here, because like April was cloudy and gray and a bit rainy. So
yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to get some nicer weather up here. I feel like we've had pretty much cloud for most of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Cloud and rain. I think today is supposed to be pretty nice, but it's going to rain in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, the warmer weather travels up north a little bit quicker than we've been seeing so far. I'm a little bit under the weather, so I apologize to everyone if my voice is a little bit annoying. The kids brought home something from daycare. My wife completely lost her voice this week, so I was really paranoid that we wouldn't be able to do the podcast
at all. Well, good news.
But so far, a little bit of honey in the tea, and I'm doing
okay.
Yeah,
nice. Pulling out like a stage tricks. I know, like, from my time in musical theater, people would, you know, honey in tea and all those remedies and stuff like that to make sure their voice was okay to go for multiple shows.
Yeah, so let's jump right into it and get through this as fast as we can, because we've got a lot to cover. We're going to predict every single series coming up in the first round of the playoffs. Best time of the year, Christmas in May, usually in April. But we delayed this podcast in order to get some clarity on the matchups. We got that on the North Division, where there was a possibility that Montreal and Winnipeg would flip. But Vegas and Colorado can't decide who's going to take first. it's pretty annoying that they both won last night, but Colorado is against LA tonight to close out their season. They beat them 6-0 the night before. I expect the Avalanche to win that game too, so maybe we should just assume that the Avalanche take first spot over the Golden Knights. They've won 4 in a row. They're rolling. I mean, it doesn't really matter so much for the first place matchup, but it's going to matter if it's Vegas versus Minnesota, right? So let's start out. I have it written in the doc because we wrote everything out as Vegas-St. Louis, because that's just what the standings were. But let's do Colorado versus St. Louis. What we're going to do is each host is going to make a prediction who's going to win and then what could go wrong with their prediction. Mary, you want to take it out?
Well, I'll also mention, I guess, after we're done like picking Colorado, St. Louis, what my prediction would have been the other way around. It wouldn't really have changed much, because I have the Avalanche, if they're facing the Blues, they're going to go, they're going to win in 5, I think. I don't think that the Blues stand much of a chance, personally. I nothing I've seen about the Blues this year gives me any hope that they're going to, like, there's a clear divide between the top teams out there in the West and the bottom teams, and the Blues are definitely one of the bottom teams. And I think that, you know, the Avalanche are on a roll right now. I'll give them a game, because I don't usually predict sweeps, because anything can happen in the playoffs, and none of the predictions I have are sweeps. So if there's, you know, a lopsided matchup, I'm probably going to pick 5 just to give it a game, because we usually don't see a sweep. But that's my prediction. And I'm going to look at Cale Makar, personally, for the Avalanche. Possible Norris Trophy candidate this year. Really, really stellar for them. I mean, I know all the talk is going to be on the offense and he can provide it, but I'm looking at him as he's a young star on the rise, and I'm really excited to see what he's going to do in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think Colorado's going to win this fairly quickly in terms of like what could go wrong with that prediction. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that could really go wrong for Colorado is what went wrong last year.
Yeah, injuries.
If Grubauer gets injured, right? Because we talked about their depth and their need to address their goaltending depth at the deadline, and neither of us were enamored with the whole Devan Dubnyk.
Yeah. I was a little bit higher on than you, but yeah, I mean, he hasn't really showed much in the playtime he's gotten since the trade deadline. So, yeah.
Yeah, in five games, he's got an 8.86. Yeah. So if Grubauer gets hurt, I think that could really throw a wrench in the Colorado Avalanche's playoff hopes. Yeah. But other than that, they've got this.
Yeah, you can't, like, predict around injuries and stuff. So, obviously, like, these predictions will hold if, you know, everything goes as planned for the Avalanche. But, yeah, things will start to crumble as they did last year if their goalie gets injured.
All right, and if it was the other way around, I think we probably both agree that Vegas will win.
Yeah, I would have had the Golden Knights in 5-2. So it would have been the same amount of games. I don't know if you want to predict games too, but that's kind of how I do it because I find it fun. But
yeah, I think 5 is the accurate prediction for both. I think Colorado and Vegas are just so clearly the powerhouses,
and they're on like similar power levels to each other, so that like. And then in the flip side, when we get to our next prediction, my prediction would have been the same had the Avalanche been there. So it's just, I think that they're similar in terms of like the level that they're at. They probably would match up similarly against those teams.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so Golden Knights versus the Minnesota Wild. I'll go first this time. I think this is a much tougher series to predict because the Wild have played the Golden Knights real tough in the regular season. I still think the Golden Knights take it. They're just stronger overall, but I think it'd take them 7.
Oh, really? I have them in 6 personally, and I would have had the Avalanche in 6 if it was the Avalanche going up against the Wild. But I think the Golden Knights are probably like stronger, and I think Fleury's going to be like huge for them if he continues to be lights out and not like the playoff Fleury that we've had in years past when he was on the Penguins. Since he's been with the Golden Knights, he's been incredible in the postseason, I think, for the most part. So I think he's what I'm looking out for. He might steal a game or two, and I don't know if it... I mean, it's going to be close, but I don't know if it's going to be 7 games close.
Yeah, and I think the X factor for this series is Kirill Kaprizov. Mm-hmm. He finished the season with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points in his last 8 games. Like, he's just... And he's scoring like crazy. Mm-hmm. He terrorized the Golden Knights this season. I think if this series is how it ends up, I think Kaprizov is the biggest X factor that could screw up my prediction.
That's true. If Kaprizov goes wild and, you know, Fleury can't stop it and nobody can stop it, then we'll be looking at a different series for sure. But I am also very excited to see him in these playoffs too, because like I think he's gone far and above anything I've thought he would this year. So I want to see what he does in the playoffs. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he has, like, do you remember when Nathan MacKinnon made the playoffs for the first time?
How many years ago was that, Andrew?
Oh, God, it feels like forever now.
I mean, probably don't remember, unfortunately. I would not be able to ballpark when that was, but it was when I was a little bit younger than this, so probably not. But I would not be surprised if what you're saying is accurate, that it could be very similar.
Yeah, so I think that's if the series was the other way around, I think Colorado has played Minnesota a little bit tighter. I would say that Colorado beat them in 6.
Okay, so we're basically the same. We're just one off. You just think that the Golden Knights will take a little bit longer to beat up the Wild, but you think it will be theirs. So.
Yeah. All right, so Carolina Hurricanes against the Nashville Predators. This one is a big mismatch for me. I mean, I think Carolina is just an absolute powerhouse. I think this one could be over in 4. That's how bad the mismatch is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to predict sweeps because I don't know. I've never liked predicting sweeps. It's just,
come on, beat
the Hurricanes. Nah, I'm still gonna have Hurricanes in 5. I still think there's a possibility for Nashville to steal a game because you never know. UC Saros, we talked a lot about him. And he has the potential to steal a game for you, especially with the way he's been playing. But for me, it's the Hurricanes in 5, and it's not going to be close, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and give them one game because you never know what UC Saros, but yeah.
Yeah, I think UC Saros is the very clear X factor. And also, when you look at the Carolina Hurricanes, the big question mark that they always have is goaltending, right? And they've got their rookie, whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce right now.
Nijelkovic? I feel like either...
Yeah. Sounds like a tennis player.
Yeah, it does. But I'm sorry, Hurricanes fans, if that's incorrect. I'm terrible with pronouncing names. Like I said, I think here I need to hear it first before I...
Yes, definitely.
Before I, like, actually commit it to memory. But I think I either heard it that way before or I don't know. But yes, he's also...
By the end of the playoffs, yes, we'll get it. By the end of the playoffs, we'll know.
But for me, he was one of my X factors too. Because, like you said, the Hurricanes in the past have never really had, like, a goaltender that can steal them games. They've just had, like, a mishmash of just... other goalies, but Djokovic seems to be like the real deal, especially if his regular season stats are any indication. So I'll be looking to that. I mean, it's not like the Predators have a bunch of high scoring, high end, like I was gonna say talent, but that's not fair to them. But like they don't have like a like you're not facing like a Connor McDavid every night against them. So we'll see how he does, but I think that the goalie matchup will be interesting for me here.
Yeah, the goalie matchup makes the series interesting, but I think the Carolina Hurricanes are just too talented at every other position for Nashville to really hang on. I mean, to Nashville's credit, they really did play hard towards the end of the season, but at the same time, like all those wins, like I'm looking at Evolving Hockey has a rolling 5-game average expected goal differential over the whole season, and Nashville has been sub 50% all the way back to like game 40. So yeah, they've been getting great goaltending and things have been going well for them. But I just don't see them as a big-time threat. And the Carolina Hurricanes have just been rolling all season long. Like, they are just incredible. So, it just doesn't... It seems like this might be the year for Carolina and Nashville. As we discussed on another podcast, I think their window is closed. Mm-hmm. And this is just a tough matchup for them.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't really see, like... We're going to get to the rest of the matchup shortly. But I don't really see, like... There's such a disparity between the top... like one seed and the four seed. I don't really see much in terms of like a possible upset. Here the upsets might be more in the like 2-3 range to me, but I don't know how your predictions will play out, but at least that's for me. I don't see much in terms of like the four seed jumping the one seed at the end of the day.
Agreed. Now this is an interesting one. This is probably the toughest one to predict in the first round. The Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, Florida, I kind of expected them to cool off during the season, and they flat out never did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Rod Brind'Amour being up for Coach of the Year. So should Joel Quenneville. Yep. Like, he has really turned this team around. And not to take away from the talent that the management group has assembled, you know, like, obviously things have come together for them in multiple ways. But Quenneville really has them playing, like, really smart tactical hockey. They actually overtook the Lightning towards the end of the season. 8-2 in their last 10 games. Ended the season winning 6 straight. The Florida Panthers are no joke.
They're not a joke, but I'm going to predict the Lightning here in 6 because the Kucherov X factor. It has to be Kucherov, right?
Yes.
Like he's coming back for the playoffs after missing the entire season with a hip injury. I know that there's been some speculation as to if they're like the Lightning were just holding him out just, you know, for cap implications, but that it is what it is at this point, but I will be intensely focused on the Kucherov factor because he brings an incredible amount of talent for free. Like they're getting him back for free. Like it wasn't a trade deadline acquisition, obviously. They didn't have to give anything up and they still were really good in the regular season without him. That's for me. If the Lightning are going to win here, it's going to be because Kucherov is putting up points. But if Kucherov is cold and the rest of the team is like isn't as hot either, then there is a possibility that the Panthers could take this. I won't discount them at all here, but for me, the Lightning getting back Kucherov is a huge reason why this series swings in 6 for me for them.
All right, I'm going to make a very hot take prediction. Right. I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Lightning right now and the players who are day-to-day. Andre Palat, Barclay Goodrow, Ryan McDonough, Victor Hedman, Steven Stamkos is on the IR with an undisclosed injury. We don't know when he's going to be back. Nikita Kucherov expected back for the beginning of this series. I think that all these players are not 100% healthy to start the season, or not to start the playoffs. Kucherov, you know, we know what he's capable of, but he's been off for a year. Well, not quite a year, because the playoffs were late last year. They're also a team that went all the way to the end last year, right? So they're going to be tired. I think the Florida Panthers upset the Stanley Cup champions in 7 games.
I thought about making that prediction. I even thought about making it Lightning in 7. For me, I just can't discount the Kucherov factor, but that is a very good point.
Yeah,
I do think, though, that Stamkos, at least from my understanding, is going to be back for the playoffs, I think. I think that's what I read in an article somewhere. I don't have it on hand, but as I was doing preview stuff for my other job, I was looking to see, you know, when they would be back, and I think they're coming back at the same time. But that was a couple days ago, so things could be different now. But you make a good point in that they're injured. They made a really long run last year, and it was obviously less than a year ago because the playoffs were, you know, different last year and in a different time and stuff like that. So you make a very good point. If the Lightning are going to show the cracks, it might be here. Like, it's very, very possible that it could be here, because a long playoff series, even though there's been time off, like, that still catches up to you eventually. And they gave it their all last year, so it is very possible. I just think personally that Kucherov is going to come in and bring them a jolt, and they're just going to not roll, but I think it's going to be their series, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think this series could go either way. I just wanted to make a bold prediction, and that's my one for
But it is a very good one. I am high on the Panthers too. I think they've done an incredible job this regular season. And if they're going to have any, like, if they would have faced the Lightning in previous years, it probably would be the Lightning, like, most of the time. But this, they actually have, I think, a legitimate shot at doing that. And I don't want to, like, take that away from them, because they are really good. And, you know, Joe Quenneville has coached them very well, and they've surprised me a lot. So, you know, I also wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they take the first game and, you know, put everybody on their back foot and be like, oh, no, Tampa, are you okay?
Yeah.
So
put the fear of God in them. And they also have home ice advantage, which isn't nothing, mm-hmm. right?
I think
there's a lot of things that could point in Florida's direction.
Even in, like, I guess it's probably still limited attendance from what I understand. But who knows? I don't really know how it is in Florida. So.
Yeah, I don't know either. But, I mean, Florida Panthers, even with full attendance, have limited attendance.
But it's the playoffs, Andrew. You were just going to give them the entire series, and now you're going to bash their fans. Wow. I see how it is. But
not bashing their fans. I'm bashing the way that the team has failed to capitalize on a gigantic market for 30 years almost.
Yep, that's fair.
But yeah, and it has nothing to do with Florida Panthers fans specifically. Plus, the arena's far out of the town, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's a tough situation. But, you know, that's our predictions for the Central and the West. We're going to hit the North and the East in just a moment after a word from our sponsor. Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun. But if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, 1%, only 1%, of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. You have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diverse, low-cost indexed funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets. You can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Got a little nest egg saved from staying at home and working the whole pandemic and not having to pay for your commuting costs? It's time to invest it. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. All right, so the North and East divisions, I think for us, these are our home coverage divisions. That's why I wanted to save them for the second segment. We'll start with your rival team first, the Penguins and the New York Islanders. Where do you see this going?
All right, I'm going to get this out of the way. I see Penguins in seven. And I have them in seven because I think the Islanders are going to be a tough out just because of the style that they play. Nothing changes with them. We've talked about them before. Incredibly defensive hockey, mixed entering zones, hell for their opposing teams. Just miserable to play against. And the Penguins will come out on top, I think, here. But I think the Islanders are going to give them all they have. But we've talked about the Penguins a lot on the show before, how hot they've been. And while the numbers may say that they're going to decline, possibly. I still think that they're going to ride their hot streak into the playoffs here, but it's going to be a knockout battle. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Islanders do win here, but I'm still putting my money on the Penguins here because I can't count out the Penguins at this point. Sidney Crosby's, like we said, going to do Sidney Crosby things. And that's the person I'm going to look towards as the X factor for this series, because the Penguins will go as Sidney Crosby goes. And if the Islanders can shut Crosby down, then there may be trouble, but I still think he's going to have his way at times with the Islanders.
I mean, he has throughout his career really tortured the mm-hmm. Islanders, but in the playoffs, the last, I think, couple times they met, the Islanders have really put the gears to the Penguins.
That's true, but that was like, wasn't that like years ago? Or am I just like misremembering?
Not too okay. long ago.
It wasn't
ago.
Last I feel like year. I know that much.
No, it was the year okay. before, okay. I think. But either way, I look at these two teams and they really finished the seasons in... or finish the season in opposite fashions. Mm-hmm. Penguins, red hot, winning tons of games, finished the season, last 10 games, 8-2. The Islanders just squeaking in. Well, I mean, they had a 11-point lead over the Rangers, but you know what I mean?
They walked backwards into the playoffs.
Yeah, they limped mm-hmm. to the finish, 3-4-3 in their last 10. However, continuing to be opposites, the Penguins' underlying numbers, not great. The Islanders' underlying numbers, towards the end of the season, skyrocketing in the right direction. So for me, I look at I'm trying to read the tea leaves here, and I love the talent level of the Penguins, but I think Islanders are going to upset them and do it in seven games. All right.
I mean, I was flip-flopping back and forth. I think this will be a seven-game series. I think that the teams are just, you know, it's, like I said, it's going to be a knockout, drag-on series where we're, like, it's just going to be like tough.
It's not gonna be fun to watch.
I mean, it might be depending on how you like your like closely checked low scoring games, if you know the Islanders have their way. But it's gonna be a long series, I think, and it's gonna be torturous to watch, and it's gonna probably, you know, the winner of this, whoever they meet in the next round, this series will take a bunch out of them for sure. I mean, they're rivals, we know the styles they play, but I still have the Penguins in seven. Just because. I still think that there's... I don't know if I like them long-term in the playoffs, especially compared with like teams in the other regions, but I think that they have a shot here at taking it in seven.
Yeah, the series could go either way.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be...
This might be the most toss-up really series outside of maybe like Lightning... Like Lightning...
Lightning Panthers,
thank you. I think this might be the most toss-up series of all of them.
Yeah, it very well could be. The X factor for me in this series is, you know, can Crosby become playoff Crosby, right? I think we've seen it time and time again. I should probably include Malkin yeah. because it's the duo of them that makes them so hard to play against, right? And I think Malkin this year just hasn't been what we all expect him to be. He looked better after coming back from injury, but still he hasn't scored since he came back. So if Malkin is not playoff Malkin and the Islanders only have to shut down Crosby, I think the series ends pretty quickly. But if Malkin shows up and becomes dangerous, then the Penguins could.
And I wouldn't discount the rest of the Penguins' depth either. It always seems as if the Penguins are able to, like, you know, squeeze talent out of every single person on their roster. I mean, Jeff Carter's.
Mark Donk and Buzz Flippit.
I mean, Jeff Carter's been really good for them this year so far since he got traded there. But, like, it amazes me how much the Penguins are able to get talent out of guys that would just probably be like fourth liners on any other team. So I wouldn't discount them either
because yes.
they always just seem to have them some sort of wizardry going on there.
Yes, Brian Rust and people of his ilk. Okay, so Washington versus Boston. This one, you know, you asked me a month and a half ago and I would have said Washington with a bullet, but oh my God, the Boston Bruins all of a sudden look incredible. You know, adding Mike Riley and Taylor Hall has really shored up the weaknesses on that team. And I'm looking at evolving hockey right now, and the Boston Bruins ended the season playing such strong hockey. I would be very afraid of them, and I think the Capitals are going to lose this series in six.
I actually have them winning in six, and I don't know if that's just me, you know, thinking on the strength of, you know, the Capitals, like offense, like Ovechkin and all that. And I know that they were injured. I guess it's the big thing for me is I don't know the status of their current injured players, but they had a bunch of injured players at the top of their lineup. So I still am going to pick them in six. I know that this is a very bold prediction, and I don't really have much to back it up other than I feel it. I'm feeling the vibes. I'm feeling it for the Capitals. But I could definitely see a realm where the Bruins take this, not only because they're hot, but also because the Capitals, at least from my last understanding, were also injured. And I don't know the status of their players going into. They're playing on Saturday, I believe. I believe that's the first playoff matchup. Because we don't know anything, at least right now, like the full schedule. But from what I remember, NBC at least put out that, you know, Capitals Bruins is going to be Saturday night. So we'll at least see them first, from my understanding. But
yeah, I can't wait to see. I think this is probably going to be the more entertaining mm-hmm. series of the East. I'm really excited to see the Bruins and Capitals. It's two like teams that don't shy away physically, play high tempo offensive styles, and for the Bruins, at least, they're strong defensively as well. I think the Bruins' ability to play two-way hockey, and they have the 1-2 punch of Rask and Halak, it just makes them such a tough out. I think, as much as I think this might be the Bruins' last run at it...
You think they're going to get through?
They're going to make... I think they're going to get through Washington, at least. I don't know if they'll get through the East, but I think they're going to get through Washington.
I can see that. And I guess the more I sit on my pick, the more I'm like, this is a bad pick. But I'm going to stick with it because that's what I picked. But I guess for me, the X factor here is Chara, the story of Chara against the Bruins. I mean, it's, you know, that's kind of the reason why I wanted to see this series, is because I want to see how the Bruins fare against their former, you know, longtime captain and stuff like that. And I just, I know that it's like a cliche story. And I get that, but from a writer's perspective and from a narrative standpoint, I'm like, yes, this is what I want.
No, it's a great story. And the fact is, like, if Chara goes out there and ragdolls Brad Marchand, they win the series automatically. That's in the rules.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm very much looking forward to it. This will probably be the more exciting series compared to the Penguins-Islanders one, because even though the Penguins and Islanders can, you know, turn it up and have, like, a ton of offense, especially on the Penguins side, like... This one's going to be the one to watch for the narratives, for the explosiveness. You've got, you know, Tom Wilson versus Brad Marchand and all that. And you got pests on pests. And, like, I'm very much looking forward to it. And this is, if I guess any of the predictions I've made would be wrong, this will probably be it. But I'm still sticking with the Capitals, personally, because I don't know if I'm necessarily a believer in the Bruins, but I know that they've been hot recently. So I will take the L if the series I predict is incorrect.
Well, I will gladly take the L if Boston loses. I'm just so used to seeing the city of Boston win everything.
Yeah, that's fair.
But let's move on to the North Division. We're going to hit the middle series first. Edmonton and Winnipeg. I don't see a way out for Winnipeg mm-hmm. here. I think that they're a team that's really hard to analyze because they have that Vezina-quality goaltending and a bunch of high-end finishers, so they consistently outperform their underlying numbers. But... have you seen Connor McDavid this year? This guy is on a mission, an absolute mission. And I think that if anyone is going to upset the Leafs as the favorite in this division, it's going to just be Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl destroying mm-hmm. worlds. And I think Edmonton's going to take this in five.
I have Edmonton in 5-2 with obviously Connor McDavid as the X factor here for me. The dude's been putting up, what, a point per period pace? That's insanity. That, I mean, we talked a lot about him in the last show on Tuesday with, you know, giving him the heart and don't galaxy brain it and all that stuff. Very true. But dude's on another planet right now. And we're just lucky that we're able to watch him at this point. And I think that his regular season, you know, like dominance is going to at least go through at least the first round. I don't know. And, you know, in the, I guess, hypothetical, I'm assuming we're going to move the Maple Leafs on and for our last one. But in the hypothetical Maple Leafs versus Oilers second round, I could see it, like, you know, getting stopped a little bit. But I'm still on the McDavid train, very much looking forward to this series because I think he's going to do incredible McDavid stuff. And I feel a bit bad for the Jets because maybe if they had picked up a more defenseman or a better defenseman at the trade deadline, I'd feel a bit better about them. But I don't. I'm sorry, Winnipeg. You're going to have, what, Pierre-Luc Dubois stapled to Connor McDavid, and I don't think that's going to end well.
No, it's just he's just destroyed every team mm-hmm. he's faced this year, and I don't expect it to end anytime soon. Even last year where the Oilers disappointingly lost in the play-in round, McDavid had 9 points in 4 games. What do you, like, how do you stop this guy? It's ridiculous.
The only thing that would trip the Oilers up is if Mike Smith turns back into a pumpkin again. Like if Mike
yes,
Smith,
yes, because they have no backup
Mike Smith,
plan.
If Mike
and that's
Smith
my X
is
factor
Mike
as
Smith,
well.
And he, you know, turns back into the Mike Smith of old, then the Oilers are in trouble. But so far he's been good, good to great. So we'll see. But you're right. Like, Connor McDavid here is like the big one for me, because he's going to do everything he can to try and drag them into the playoffs. But like I said, if Mike Smith turns back into a pumpkin, there might not be any hope.
Yeah, my X factor is goaltending on both sides. It's just, it's a mismatch there. Mike Smith has been great this year, but we know from recent years that Smith has just not been at this level for very long. So he kind of goes on and off. And if this becomes an off playoffs for him, you know, Koskinen is not an option. I've watched him a lot this year, and he seems to have only gotten worse. He started the season out like not great, but okay. And his last few starts have just been unbelievably bad.
It'd be really funny, just like thinking, because you said that there's a realm of possibility out there where the Oilers, you know, make it out of the North Division, the team that advances, and maybe they go to the Stanley Cup final and they win. It'd be hilarious if it's off the back of Connor McDavid with Mike Smith as their goalie. Who would have thought? That's obviously just, you know, like thinking way out into the future and one possible future out here. But I just, the thought occurred to me, I was like, all right, universe, I see what you're doing.
All right, so our last series, the series that Sportsnet and every broadcaster in Canada has been thirsting for longer than I've been alive. The last time the Toronto Maple Leafs and Montreal Canadiens faced each other in a playoff series, Joe Thornton had not been born yet.
Wow.
Yeah. 1979.
Wow.
The last time the Maple Leafs won a game against Montreal in a playoff series was 1967.
Jeez. That's like...
I think they're going to break that streak this year.
I think so.
Toronto is just an incredible hockey team. I think that the Montreal Canadiens are going to give them a run for it, because there is still like a fragileness to the Maple Leafs, maybe not believing that they can.
Yeah, their mentality, like if they come out and lose game one, then what happens?
Yeah, the swagger might be out of their... Yeah. Another step for a couple days. But I think ultimately Toronto's going to win this series. I think it's going to go seven, though. I think that, yeah, I do. I think the Montreal Canadiens are a team that will get away with more of what they're good at in the playoffs than they do in the regular season. They love those cross checks. They're going to put a hurt on people. They've got a big, slow defense core. They're going to be annoying. They're going to hook and
I remember them last year from the series against the Flyers. I remember being incredibly frustrated with, you know, the Canadiens. I was like, I never want to see any of these people ever again. So...
Well, what's funny about that series is I remember like Weber just hacking people and slashing people and cross-checking people. And then where the Canadiens lost that series against the Flyers was right in front of the net. You know, Joel Farabee was incredible in that series. Now, the question is, are the Leafs net front players going to be able to capitalize in the same way? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of middle distance shooters on that team. You know, William Nylander likes to go to the front of the net, but kind of last guy in, chipping in a rebound kind of thing. Austin Matthews has the willingness. You know, Zach Hyman, I think, could be an X factor in this series. But I look at the players coming back for each team in this series, and like Zach Hyman's healthy, I believe. Nick Foligno is going to come back. Riley Nash is going to come back. And it's a lot of like defensive style guys. Whereas the Canadians are getting back Brendan Gallagher, Carey Price, who's now rested. You know, like that's Shea Weber will likely be back. The Canadians are getting back better players than the Leafs are. So I think there's a shift towards the Canadians in that respect, but it's not enough.
I
think that in order, the X factor here for me is going to be if Carey Price is last playoffs Carey Price. And if he is, there's a chance the Canadians could win this. But I still think even if he is that good, they can only bring it to seven.
I'm not sold on the Canadians. I have the Maple Leafs in five. I could, like I said, I could very much see a world where, you know, the Maple Leafs lose the first game and then panic starts to hit like, the panic starts to set in, but I think this team is too talented. The X factor for me is, you know, Jack Campbell and if Freddie Anderson sees the net at all. Because, like, I know that Maple Leafs fans have been freaking out about their goaltending, and Jack Campbell was really good this year, but if for some reason he just doesn't have it in the playoffs, like, do they go to Anderson? And, I mean, he was injured and he hasn't played in a while and he wasn't really that good this year. That'll be the interesting thing for me. I could see, like, goaltending being the reason why this series goes long, because if, you know, something happens and Jack Campbell doesn't play up to par or just has a game where he just gets lit up, I could see the panic starting to set in. I don't know if that's game one or, like, game three or whatever, but it's very possible that that happens. But I still have overall faith in the Maple Leafs' talent as a whole, like, disregarding their mentals and all that stuff, because I know that that can play a factor into it. And I know Maple Leafs and their fans, like, I know that that gets to them, and I get it. Trust me, as somebody whose team is like been in and out of the playoffs, and you're like, we're never gonna win. We haven't won in so long. We messed it up at like every turn. I get it. So I could absolutely see a world where that happens, but I still think that the talent here will win out for the Maple Leafs. I know that they don't want to believe it because it hasn't happened yet, but I'll at least do it for them because I have no stake in the game here.
Yeah, I think they're going to win as well. And I think in order for the Canadians to put that fear in the Leafs, they have to win game one. If they don't win game one, I think the series
it could be a roll. If it's 4-0, 4-1 win for Toronto, I could very much see it, being a roll, maybe even a sweep. But
And watching the Leafs play this season, they have, I see a swagger in their step this year that they haven't had in other years, where they just believe they're going to
That's why I think they'll win in five. I mean, or at least in probably like convincing fashion. I know that, like I said, their history, their mental history going back however many years it is now, I get it, but I think that this team is built different this year. So I have faith in them, and I know the Maple Leafs fans don't want to have faith, but I'll have faith for you because I think that this is legitimately the best Maple Leafs team we've seen in some time. So
they absolutely are, and they've been, they rolled into the end of the season. They were incredible. So yeah, I think Leafs are going to win. I think the Canadians are going to make it tough on them and take it to seven. So coming up next, our interview with Soroya Tinker, New York Riveter, Denalang Award winner. It's awesome. I hope you guys really enjoy the interview because I know we did. Coming up right after this.
This being our playoff preview show, you should know that the NHL playoffs are right around the corner. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news and odds and info for all of your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, the NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You've got 8 different NHL playoff series that you can bet on. You've got all sorts of different prop bets that you can make. And there's also the NBA and the MLB. You've got countless stuff where you can make money. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON. Everyone who has a vehicle knows you've got to keep up with your maintenance. If you don't, it's going to end up costing you more money. And one of the best ways to save money is to use rockauto.com for your vehicle's parts. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all of the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders parts on his computer, choosing only the brand that his warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer, you have a phone, and you have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. Why pay a premium when you could pay the same price that mechanics get at cost? RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing the prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and doesn't require a membership or an account login. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us section so they'll know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL show. We are very excited to be joined here today with Denalang Award winner, rookie in the NWHL, Yale graduate, so she's smarter than us, Soroya Tinker.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
We're doing great. We're really excited to talk to you. I think when we first started out the podcast, I guess it's been a little bit over a month now. Yeah. One of our first people were like, we've got to get Saroy on. It was like one of our first people that we wanted to get the, in here. You know, mm-hmm. the NWHL playoffs were just starting up again after being delayed in Lake Placid. So it was like, you know, the timing was tough. Everything was busy at the time. So we're glad that we finally got you on. We're really excited to chat with you. How was your first season? How was playing pro hockey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of the three games that I got to play, I think that I had a great time. I think that I really fit in well with the league, and I was excited to play with some new teammates and have a new structure and things like that. So I think I had a great time. It's definitely unfortunate that the Riveters didn't get to continue along with the playoff run, because I definitely think we would have put up a good fight, and I think we would have won, but that's just me. But yeah.
Yeah, you were 2-1 when you guys bowed out, and unfortunately you didn't have a chance to face Buffalo or Boston, who Boston was the eventual champs. You said you really would have wanted to face them. You said you would have won, but you talk about how unfortunate that was, because it really did seem like you guys were building towards something, and cutting it short was unfortunate.
For sure. I mean, I definitely think we would have won. I mean, we lost in the last 10 seconds of that game to Minnesota, and that was actually the game where we had 3 to 5 players pulled off the bench with our positive results. So in that sense, we were very unfocused on the bench. And I think that we put up a good fight, definitely outshot them and things like that. So definitely disappointing that we didn't get to continue along with playoffs, and super frustrating, but I think it lights a fire under us for next year.
Can you describe the feeling of playing a hockey game and having players pulled off the bench? It's one thing to be like ejected for doing something like a dirty hit, or you know, like you see what happens on the ice, but just to like be kind of like look over your shoulder and half your teammates are gone all of a sudden from like, how does that feel? How does that affect you? Like, obviously you said it took your focus away, but just, can you elaborate on how that played into the on ice product?
Yeah, I think, I mean, going into the third period, we kind of found out our coach got pulled off the bench too. So we were without a coach. We had Stretch on the bench there acting as our head coach for the third period, which she obviously did a great job. But yeah, I think just a sense of worry. and obviously if you're in the middle of a game, it's just like breaks your focus, you know? So I think in that sense, it was definitely difficult, but we powered through, and unfortunate with that last 10 seconds there. But at the same time, I think that we did a great job keeping our focus, or to the best ability that we could, and playing to our fullest potential.
Obviously, things didn't work out in the bubble in Lake Placid, but can you describe how things were there? Like, I know the NHL bubble, the players, obviously a little bit more spoiled than I think you guys are, but they complained pretty much constantly about how the situation when they were in the bubble in the playoffs. Did you guys have fun with your teammates in that situation, or was it kind of just still an isolating experience?
Yeah, it was definitely isolating, but at the same time, I think as women in sport, and as women in specifically hockey, I remember pulling up to Lake Placid and pulling up to Herb Brooks with our banner, 2020 NWHL season was going to be played there, and seeing the amount of work that was put in. And I remember a few of my older teammates crying, because we've never experienced something like this. It was definitely emotional, and definitely realized that we're very blessed to have that, because women's hockey hasn't necessarily been able to be given that platform and be given that voice. So I think that we were incredibly thankful for what we had and what we got to experience in the bubble, even though we were alone in our hotel rooms when we got back. But I definitely think that it was something to see for women's hockey, and it was exciting to see the progression move forward, just because we've never had something to look to like that. In hopes of playing in a league like that and being put on TV and things like that. So I think that the league did an awesome job of preparing for that.
I'm glad that you guys got to feel that too, because we had Marissa and Jemmy on the podcast about mm-hmm. a month ago, and we talked about the direction that women's hockey is heading. And it felt like this year, even starting, like you said, with that playoff bubble in Lake Placid, you looked at the online response, you looked at like the Twitch streams and the hype that was surrounding it. It feels like it's swelling to like an inflection point of where it's about to take off. And that's palpable to the players as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's so exciting to see, just because we're realizing that these little girls that play now have something to look to, have a league to want to play in, and have that that drive to want to make it to where we are. And this is obviously new for us. We didn't have this to look to. So it's exciting for the players as well. But I think that it's really exciting for the girls that are coming up behind us and are going to get to play in the league in 10, 15 years, when hopefully they're making a living wage and the league is being put on TV and we have those contracts and we have those investments. So I think it's exciting.
And this seems like when you talk to women's hockey players, there is always a focus on being an example to the next generation. And obviously this probably goes for all women's sports, right? Because it's something that is really taken off in the last 20-ish years of where women are getting the attention that they deserve and hopefully the pay that they deserve as time goes on. But, you know, being a woman of color as well, you get to set like an extra example and be even bigger, a bigger icon of like representation for people watching the sport. Does that kind of lead into how you feel about the Dana Lang Award, which is for exemplifies qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to her sport? Is that like where your focus lies?
Yeah, I definitely think that moving forward into my professional career, I've had to refocus and figure out who and what I am playing for now. And I think I've realized that I do have a new purpose in the game, and that is to play for the girls behind me and be a trailblazer for them. I think a question I often get in interviews is, who was my role model and who did I look to when I was young and playing in my sport still? And my answer to that is I honestly don't know. In that sense, we had Angela James, who retired from her hockey career in 98, and that was the year I was born. So I never got to see other Black women playing at a high level that were for me to look up to. So for me, I realized that I'm part of that first generation that is giving those young Black women, those girls to look up to in their sport, because there's not a lot of us, but we're here and we're here to stay. And I think that it's awesome that we're being those role models. And I love seeing and talking to Blake and Sarah and Kelsey and those other girls that are part of that generation in terms of trailblazing. And we're so excited to see when other little Black girls get into the game and talk to us and want to play.
I imagine it must be pretty easy to think about that and get pumped up before you, you take the ice, eh? Like,
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think it's an exciting moment. And I think definitely playing in Lake Placid, I got to use my voice and stand up for what I believe in and whatnot. And I realized that there are a lot of eyes on me. There are a lot of young girls watching me, whether they're Black or white. And I think it's just a big statement to make in women's hockey, and there are people for them to look up to and want to model their game after now.
Are you looking forward to finally, like, hopefully maybe later this year, like actually like get back on the ice and like have a longer season and maybe see fans in person? Like, we don't know anything, as far as I'm aware, of what the NWHL was going to do this year, but are you looking forward to that moment where you can like actually like interact and like talk to the fans and, you know, see what they, you know, how they react to you and all that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that that'll be a big piece of it. People ask me how I felt about my first season, but I mean, I really only played 3 games. I didn't get the full professional experience, and I still don't know what it's like to, you know, play in that arena and have our Riveters fans there and things like that. So I'm definitely excited to get to meet new people and get to use my voice and talk to so many other people and reach the communities and the crowds that I want to reach.
How would you describe on the ice, what style of player is Soraya Tinker? Who do you model your game after?
I think before my collegiate career, I was definitely very much a rushing defenseman, very offensive, always liked having the puck on my stick and controlling the play. And then I think moving forward in my college career, I realized with Yale, I did have to play a little more defensive. We were the most offensively strong team when I played there, and we had trouble scoring goals pretty often. And so I kind of had to take on that big defensive mindset and be that big, strong defenseman on the back end, being more of a shutdown player and not focusing on the offensive piece of it. But I think in my first 3 games in the NW, I was able to be that shutdown player, but I think moving into each game, I got more comfortable showing my offensive skills, and I'm excited to use that moving forward, just because I think that the league allows the opportunity for me to do that and play more offensive, which I love to do, just unfortunately didn't get to do that in college. So we're looking forward to that.
It's interesting to see like how much the game changes from league to league, right? Like even like college, you would expect it'd be a little bit looser than like the pros, right? There'd be more expectations to play defense, but sometimes it's about the team that you're on and what you're able to do on the ice without taking too many risks. And I'm noticing looking at your stats page that you're no stranger to mixing things up physically, because you rack up the penalty minutes there, Soraya.
Yeah. I think I've always not struggled with that, because I think it's definitely helped my team at times, but I think being a bigger body in the game and playing against some smaller girls and stuff, I definitely have gotten some calls that I don't agree with, but but at the same time, I do realize that I was the most penalized player in my senior season of ECAC hockey. So I'm not one to back down. Definitely stick up for my teammates and show no weakness.
Yeah, it's definitely needed out there.
Oh yeah, for sure. You always need your enforcer. And I mean, I think, not that I think that I'm that, but I get feisty out there sometimes. And I think some unfortunate calls get made, but at the same time, I am a fan of the body contact. And I think that playing professionally allows me to use my body more. And I didn't take a penalty in my three games. So we're looking forward to a clean NW career.
Is that something you want in the future of women's hockey, is to allow like, you know, more body checks and, you know, because obviously the men's game has it, but I don't see any reason why the women's game shouldn't either. So
I think a lot of people don't realize how much physicality there is in the women's game. I've open ice hit people and things like that. I think that there's definitely room for us to have more body contact, but at the same time, I think people need to come to the realization that we do get bumped around out there, and there are little scrums and little fights and things like that, and it is exciting to watch. So I think we just see I think we probably have a larger fan base if we started to include more hitting and things like that. But again, I think our fans need to recognize that there is quite a lot of body contact.
Oh yeah. I mean, USA Canada games, like I think back to those like scrums that they have, and I'm like, man, I love this. This gets the blood flowing. It really, really, it's really exciting.
Yeah. Mary's American. I'm Canadian. Yeah. So there's a reason why, like, I don't love the Lamoureux twins. Right. And it's not because they're bad hockey players. It's because, you know, I remember goals. I remember.
Listen, behavior. You had the Team Canada had the, when USA, you know, bonked that puck off the post and then scored and won that game, and that ruined me. So I think there's a bit of give and take here, Andrew.
there is, obviously, but we're going to talk about some great games on the other side. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the future of the NWHL with Soraya. Thanks for sticking around.
It's been a long year for everyone. We could all use a little bit of energy, and what better way to get energy than having the most delicious protein bar on the market, Built Bar. What's your favorite Built Bar? Well, you got to try all the flavors, right? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavors? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. There's coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. There's something for everyone. I can tell you right now, my favorite flavor, it's going to be the mint brownie. I'm a sucker for mint chocolate. I always have been. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. You're getting healthy while having a delicious snack. Built Bars can be a big part of your lifestyle. You can use them to maintain your weight or lose your weight. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Head on over now and discover what's been missing from your life. Delicious protein bars from Built Bar. It's been a long time since we've all felt normal. One of the things that was a part of normal life for all sports fans was heading to the bar and chatting with like-minded individuals. Well, thanks to Locker Room, you can go onto your Android or Apple device right now, download an app, and jump right into conversations with the biggest sports fans in the world, including experts. You can talk about your favorite teams, your favorite leagues, anything. Locker Room allows individuals to open up rooms on a specific topic and chat with sports fans. Do you miss chatting about who should be getting more ice time on your favorite team? Or hey, the playoffs are about to start. Do you miss taunting fans of the opposing team? Well, head on over to Locker Room and get in on the action. Locker Room is the perfect space to join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have the chance to chat with me or Mary or anybody else from the Locked On Network that regularly hosts rooms on Locker Room. Head on over to the App Store right now and download the free Locker Room app. Be sure to create a profile and link your Twitter and then join whatever leagues you're interested in. Locker Room is changing the way that we talk sports. Download Locker Room in the App Store right now.
We're back with Soroya Tinker, and the NWHL has doubled their salary cap from $150,000 American to $300,000 per team next year. Does that mean a lot to you? Or do you see that and see like the potential of the future, or is it just something that was kind of expected to happen internally as time went on?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that was expected as time went on. But at the same time, I think a lot of people need to realize that we doubled our salary cap in a year, really, of making those and having those investors invest in the women's game and want to see us and want to put us on TV. So I think for us, yes, it is a small step in terms of our pay and pay gap and things like that. But at the same time, it is a significant improvement. And I think everybody's excited about it. And for us, that means that these girls that look up to us are going to be making a living wage when it's their time to play professionally. And I think that's the most exciting part, is that we've made steps forward and we're being seen and we're being heard as female hockey players. And I think that's awesome to see.
Can you see, like, in your playing career, the time coming where your one job is being a professional hockey player? Because it seems like, based on the trajectory, we could get there soon, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's exciting. I think that I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the improvement in terms of how long I decide to play and how long I take my career and how far I want to do that. And I think we're all excited to hopefully eventually make a living wage where we can solely focus on hockey and focus on training and being the best athletes we can be, like the men get to do. And I think that's where we're at. I think we're going to keep pushing forward. And I know that even if I don't make a living wage in my career, I know that my mentees and the girls I talk to will. And that's the direction we're headed. And I think that's the most positive piece of this, is that we are moving forward.
Absolutely. And hopefully we get there sooner than later. Like we said, it looks like the inflection point is something that we're witnessing right now. And I do wonder, you know, if COVID hadn't hit, how much better of a position would the NWHL be in? Because like the NHL can weather this storm and they'll complain about losing money, blah, 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 blah. But for a smaller league, there's just so much more on the line. And to not only announce that the salary cap is raising, but add an expansion team in the plans, not coming this year, but
yeah,
later on. That seems like incredible news. Like, this is a year where almost everyone is taking a step back and the NWHL is like always forward, motoring on. It seems like everything around the women's game right now is positive news.
Yeah, for sure. I think whether it's the NW or the PWHPA, I think we all have positive news to share in terms of the furthering of women's hockey. And I think we are being watched more with it being a pandemic and people being on Twitch and things like that. But at the same time, people want to see us. And I think that's what people are realizing, that it's not just people hopping on it. We have millions of viewers who want to watch women's hockey. And I think that's a big thing that a lot of television companies need to realize and need to put us on those platforms that we deserve to be on, and we deserve to be seen at that highest level that we've been able to play at. So I think for all the players, I think that we're all super excited about this.
Yeah, Mary and I were talking a little while ago about if you had to pick like your 10 best games that you've ever watched in your life, and I was trying to think about it, and of all hockey games, I was like, I think 5 of my top 10 are women's games. And that's not even just like it's equal, men, women, equal. It's like there's far fewer women's games that happen, especially broadcast. So you're comparing these thousands of men's games to the few women's games we get the pleasure of watching on a national broadcast where everyone gets to see it. And I think those like Canada USA games in the Olympics, they never disappoint.
Oh yeah.
So like, for just sure. To make a long story short here, what's your favorite women's game that you've ever seen or played in?
Yeah, I think for me, played in, I was on the under 18 national team and have a silver medal from that. That was definitely a huge heartbreaking game for me. but at the same time, that was awesome. Just the atmosphere. We had a sold out crowd. It was in St. Catharines, Ontario. So we had a home crowd. My whole family got to be there and the stands were filled. We were sold out. And I think that was the biggest game I've probably played in terms of fans watching in person. And I think it made us all realize that we do have something to work towards, whether that's Olympics or playing professionally. But again, those Canada-US games, they're always interesting. They're always physical and they're always exciting to watch. So I think all of those women's games are always awesome. But I think the first one that comes to mind is the one that I got to play in, which was definitely a heartbreaker, but at the same time, a big highlight in my career.
Are you looking forward to, maybe joining the Canadian Olympics team down the road and redeeming that loss?
Yeah, I think that's always in the back of your mind. Playing on the national team and wearing that jersey is definitely a privilege and something that I was incredibly blessed to do. I'm not sure if that opportunity will present itself again, but I mean, if it does, we're here for it and we're ready to go. But yeah, I think having those Olympic dreams is something that all of us young girls do have, just because those are our Stanley Cup games. Especially when I was younger, we didn't have a professional league to look to and things like that. So I think the Olympics for our women's game is huge, and it's a necessity, and we need that to further the game of women's hockey.
This breaks my heart because you'd be playing for Team Canada, and I'm a USA girl, and now getting to know you even more, it's like, I can't root against you. You're too good. You're too nice. This is unfair. This is unfair.
Too nice now until you saw me on the ice.
That's true. That's true. No, but knowing you as a person is what makes it all better.
Yeah.
That's actually something that I've heard from a lot of women's hockey reporters is they get a lot more access to the women's game, right? Because the women are very personable. They want to grow the game. So you get to know them a lot better than you would if you're covering men's hockey. And it's just like, you can't root against any team anymore because there's so many lovely personalities that you get to know. Yes. And you just want everyone to have fun.
Fair enough. Yes. I mean, that makes sense. I think that we as women do a good job of reaching out and building our platforms to the best extent that we can, just because we know that it's not always there for those women to look up to and those young girls. So I think it's awesome that we all make an effort to reach out and do everything that we can do to further the game.
Yeah, it's unfair that it's kind of all on you folks, but at the same time, I think the NHL could learn a little bit from the women's league and how well the women who the players actually push the game and reach out to people and interact with fans. It seems to me like the women's game is just far more accessible for the average fan, and also just like from all sorts of backgrounds, right? Like you can find someone who represents you. And I think that's really, it's really something special that the NWHL has keyed on, especially this year. It feels like they've pushed that to that idea of like, we're the accessibles hockey league. Right. So it's fun to see that. I wish you the best of luck for the upcoming NWHL season. I can't wait to get back into it. Yeah. I think that the way that the league has handled things in terms of kind of making their own broadcast by going with Twitch is just really smart, really innovative.
I think we like underestimate like the Twitch's impact, because it really has found an audience there. I mean, obviously the goal is to get on national broadcasts on TV all the time, but I really think that Twitch has done an incredible job for the league, because you get those, like you get those audience participation, fans reacting in real time. And it was really cool to see, because I obviously watched on Twitch and I jumped in on those streams and it was a fun time. I mean, the Zamboni guy, all the emotes, it was very fun, and I'm glad that it's found a home there, but obviously the goal is to be big time on broadcast networks.
Yeah, for sure. I think us having that amount of viewers on Twitch and having that a lot that amount of fan engagement and things like that are things that are showing our investors that people are here for us, and they love watching us, and we do have fans in the game. And I think that using Twitch was awesome. I know that everyone who watched our games told me they enjoyed watching on the Twitch stream. So hopefully we can bump that up and be on NBC Sports and things like that in the future.
I can't wait for it. I think it's inevitable. And in the meantime, it's just so much fun to see where it's going. Soraya, thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it. I can't wait to see you on the ice. I hope you get mic'd up so that we can hear you trash talking.
Yes,
someone.
Please.
Like, oh, gosh. Like, she's so nice. I can't believe she did that. Yes, but honestly, please. At the end of your career, you better go into broadcasting because you're good at this. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
You're a great interview.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Well, I'll see what I can do.
Thanks so much for doing
thank
this
you.
For us.
Of course.
That's our show for today. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. And if you like this podcast, please make sure you tell all your friends about it. We're really excited to continue to interact with our fans and listeners. And you are one of them. We appreciate every single listen. But before we let you go, we got to tell you about one more thing. And that is the Locked On Today podcast. When and where will the Oakland A's move? That's the question of the day. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. That's the Odyssey app, AUDACY.